You're listening to Rainmakers Power Hour. Join your hosts, Wendy Butler, Daphne Christine, and Macy Nelson, as they interview the most successful entrepreneurs from around the world who are sharing their proven strategies to help take your business to the next level.
We are so excited to have the legendary Mark Lopresti here with us today on the Rainmakers Power Hour. He is the CEO and Chief Marketing Strategist at Market Rebellion. He is a Wall Street veteran with over 25 years of experience. He is a recognized securities law and corporate finance attorney, an experienced economist and family office expert. You have seen him on Fox Business News, CNBC. He is on SiriusXM radio frequently and, of course, is often quoted in numerous publications like Forbes, Wall Street Journal, and Barron's. Welcome to the show, Mark. And I'm going to pass the mic off to Macy, who is dying to ask you the first questions. Go ahead, Macy.
One of the questions I actually just personally had for you is, so you're a young 18-year-old and you've got your life ahead of you. Floor of the Wall Street Stock Exchange is crazy. It's fast-paced. It's hectic. It's stressful. It's long hours. What made you get into that? Like, what said, this is what I want to do with my life?
That's a great question, Macy. I mean, I think with a lot of things, probably a lot of similar stories, I had a mentor and somebody that exposed me to the business. That was my uncle, who very old school sort of 80s, you know, Wall Street, cigar smoking, white collar and blue shirt, the whole, you know, pinstripes, the whole nine yards, influenced me in a lot of ways. I had the pleasure of working for him. He's the reason I wound up at such a young age on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And so it was really kind of wanted to grow up to be like him. And he was at one point a trader on the New York floor. Then he ran Lehman Brothers Institutional Equity Desk, where he executed trades for the largest institutions in the world. No, Fidelity, we used to call them FIDO back then, one of our clients, still one of the largest financial institutions. We would trade huge blocks of stock and watch markets move. And I was just absolutely fascinated by it. Then on the media side, I have to give the credit probably to Maria Bartiromo. So when I was working on the floor of the New York as a young 18, Maria was the only woman working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And we sort of became friends. We had similar Italian heritage and passion for our Italian heritage. And I watched what she went through. Which was nothing short of remarkable. You did not want to be a woman on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange in the 80s or even in the 90s, I can promise you that. And she gave me my first shot on CNBC about 5 years before she went over to Fox. And obviously, we know how well Maria's done on Fox. And she's actually just a couple blocks away from me here at Milken, along with most of the other media luminaries in finance that are interviewing. Yeah, whether it's Ken Griffith or any of the absolute titans of finance, they're all here in Beverly Hills this week. So that's really, I have to give it to my uncle. He was the one that exposed me to the business, and that's how I got my start.
Love it. So I do have a lot of technical questions for you, and I don't want to bore the audience. But if somebody wants to get in this, and their goal is to bring in residual income into their household, supplement income, you know, I hear it all the time where somebody might, you know, want to stay at home with the kids or, you know, in networking businesses all the time. Like, what's your why? Why do you want to do this? And they say to you, I want an extra $10,000 a month coming in residually into my household. Where would you have them start? So what I love about it is you need internet and a laptop and some education. Those are the three things I always tell people about options. So somebody comes to you and they say, I want to start an options trading business. What's their first step?
Well, the first step, as you point out, Macy, is the education, right? And we believe in it so much that we give, I would say, probably 90% of it away for free. So if you go to MarkRebellion.com, you will find a ton of option beginner education modules that are on there that you can start, you know, sort of distance learning in your own time, reading the materials that we have, watching the videos that we have on there that are available. And then if you're watching and you're participating in this event, you can send your email address to Wendy or Macy, and I'll make sure that one of our team sends a custom package just for this viewership, all free.
Oh, wow.
To get you into learning how to trade options. It's my pleasure. We also have a book. You've probably seen our book commercial, which runs an inordinate amount of times a day. The book's called It's Not an Option. We bring them to our live events. I know we've given autographed copies to all the co-hosts. But that's also something that we can probably send to the folks that are in the room today as well, if they ask for it. So the first step is learning. And we really tell people and encourage them, after you've done all of the study, you've taken our different modules, you've read the course materials, open a paper trading account. Most of the firms, whether it's Robinhood or Webull or Schwab, they will allow you to essentially open an account with monopoly money, right? And learn the strategies, the basic strategies of how to put a trade on. And you said something that was extremely true that we spent a lot of time talking about with our Market Rebellion community, which is it's easy to put a trade on. It's very hard to know when to take a trade off and how to manage a bad trade. So the education process never stops. I'm still learning. And we have option strategies available in terms of learning as well as the trade signals that are from the very simple buying and selling puts and calls to the very complex, which involve the credit spreads, butterflies, iron condors, things of that nature.
And my favorite.
The iron condors is your favorite. There you go. You're not messing around.
I want to interrupt just for a second to let you know that Grant Cardone
know how to get rich. Mark, quick. I want one trade to get rich on. What do I buy it at? What is the symbol and when do I sell?
Well, help me. If you remember, Grant, the first webinar that we shot last June, almost a year ago, for instant cash flow, I gave you VST, Vistra Holdings. And if you look at what that thing's done, I could pull a chart up here on my laptop, but I'm pretty sure that VST from June of last year to where it is now is probably up 60 or 70%. And if you had put that trade on using options, you know the power of options. You probably could have seen a 500% return on something like that. I mean, today, Grant, man, you know what they're taking out to the woodshed? They're taking Palantir out to the woodshed. Makes no damn sense to me. They beat on the top line. They beat on the earnings per share. The forward guidance looks great. And these guys have a moat when it comes to the government contracts, not only in defense, but homeland security, that ain't nobody's going to be able to touch. I like Palantir, especially on a day like today when they're selling it off. I'm a buyer.
You know what? I'm looking at VST right now. They topped out at like almost 196 on January 23rd. Then we went into a vertical pattern down, bottoming out at a, the resistance is what, at right at 200.
Mm-hmm.
Our support's right at 90 and it's trading at 144. So it just broke through that vertical down pattern.
Are you looking for a job at Market?
Mark's getting on you right now. I've been around this guy long enough.
I was about to say,
trading comments are basically, by the way, he'll hit on men or women, just so you know.
To mention that
you're
going to be a speaker.
I can attest to that.
WealthCon coming up, aren't you, Mark?
Is going on here? I'm thinking about saying no after this action job. My God.
No, Mark, you know, what are you talking about, dude? It's not a happy job.
Grant only does this with people he loves.
That's right. It's his love. I wanted to ask you, because I'll tell you, one of the things that I've noticed since Trump first administration term, we've never seen before that I know of, and I'm, you know, way younger than all of you, just kidding, is in the Trump's first administration, I noticed, I'm sure the world did too, if I did, it was the first time that news out of Washington affected Wall Street so significantly. And the reason that, you know, affected a lot of trades was a lot of us are chartists. So I am your classic chartist. So I'm looking at your moving averages. I'm looking at your supports. I'm looking at your resistance. I'm doing it all the way back 3 years and then zeroing it down to the 3 months in reverse. We were seeing a pattern of behavior in stocks that was not following your traditional chart lines, and it wasn't following the value of the stock company itself. It was following news out of Washington. Do you still see that being a big factor in movement?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things on that, Macy, and you're absolutely right. And by the way, you're also highlighting an entire category from the education perspective. That's super important. And we've got some of the absolute best in the business of understanding the technicals. We have an entire group of traders and analysts. They don't even care what the company does. You know, we'll do these live webinars, our 10X Wealth Club, or be on stage and you know, I'll mention a symbol of Grant and say, what's the company do? Most of the time I know, 90% of the time I know, but we've got a whole group of guys, they didn't even want to know what the company does. They want to look just at the charts, understanding the moving averages, the 50, the 100, the 200, the 500 day moving average, which became relevant during the tariff tantrum. So super important to learn the technicals, and you can do so well and make so much money if you become a chartist, a chart artist, as the lovely Macy is. Learn the technicals, and it's going to add a lot to your trading. So in terms of your question, what's different now versus then is a couple of things. One, I think you're absolutely right. We have not seen a market that has been as influenced and driven by the activity coming out of the White House. There's a reason for that, right? President Trump is moving fast and breaking things. That is a unique style of governing. It's a style that I think we desperately needed for a very broken government. And as a result of that, you're going to have more volatile movements. By the way, folks, for you don't know, we look at something called the VIX, the VIX,
which we track. My favorite thing to trade, by the way.
There you go. You can trade it. You can watch it. We do both, right? It's the market's volatility index. As that number goes higher, it tends to indicate, obviously, A, more volatility, but bearishness. And as the VIX handle and the number comes down, it tends to indicate bullish or at least periods of calm. It's a really, really important thing to watch. But the other thing I'll point out, basically, that's different then versus now is market technicals, and that's simply on the volume side. You cannot compare the number of contracts, sticking with options, but for the moment, we are trading twice as many contracts a day today than we were during President Trump's administration. There has been a proliferation of investors coming into the marketplace, both individuals and institutions. COVID was part of the reason for that. When people couldn't bet on sports, they became stock and options traders, and a lot of those guys and gals stuck around. Even during the tariff tantrum in the first end of the first quarter of this year, we saw the highest retail inflow, that's average everyday investors like you and me, coming into the market, putting money into the market than we've seen in I think the last two quarters combined. And people say, well, oh my God, how is that possible? I'll go on CNN. And you know, you love this, Grant. I go on CNN, they come after me and they point the finger and say, you have trillions of dollars has been wiped away from mom and pop and everything's retirement accounts and this and that. I say, well, listen, two problems I have with that. One, as Warren Buffett famously said, it's only a loss if you sell, and I haven't sold, which is absolutely true. And second of all, when did y'all start to be so concerned about Wall Street? Because I thought that we were the hated speculators, and Wall Street and Main Street were two completely different things. But the truth of the matter is we are in an environment now where we have a lot more contracts traded. We have a lot more different instruments traded. And that in and of itself adds to the liquidity and depth of the market, which also adds to the volatility and then the severity of those movements. So I hope I answered your question.
You did. And I play the volatility quite a bit. And I will sell the volatility back to the market. You know, and that's what I do usually. But I want to talk about what Grant said, because I'll tell you, I get asked that question a lot. If I'm in it to, you know, pop some money pretty quickly, what's your best trade? What are your thoughts on the VIX? Because what I like about the VIX is the sucker can move. I mean, so just look at on April 3rd of this year, you know, it was at trading at $24.50, right? By the 7th, we're talking about a 3-day span. It was trading at $59.87. So somebody put in money on day one of that, which is April 3rd. 3 days later, they're at 100% return on their investment. And what I like about the VIX is not only can it move, it's cheap. So you can buy a significant amount of contracts for very little. It can move. But here's one of the things that I've learned, and I would love to get your opinion on this, is a lot of people will trade the reaction. Right? A lot of people traded the reaction to the tariffs, reaction to the news, reaction to whatever. I've learned to trade the reaction to the reaction, right? So when the VIX skyrocketed, you know, 50, it went up 100%, I was buying puts, right? Because it's kind of come back down. So it's trading the reaction to the reaction. And that's where I've made quite a bit of money. What are your thoughts on that VIX trade? Because that is something that somebody could get in for fairly cheap. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not an Apple stock, right? It's fairly cheap. And right now it's trading at $24.71. So you can buy a significant amount of contracts for relatively small money. and it can move very quickly. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So we love the VIX. And as I said, we use it both as an indicator as well as an instrument that we trade. So sort of the more popular ones in that category, the VIX, the SPY, and the triple Qs, we trade them a lot. The VIX trading, like you're describing, though, because of the volatility, because of how quickly it can move in a headline-driven market environment like the one that we're in, is not for beginners. So okay. What people need to learn to do, if you're just getting into it, again, paper trade, take the courses. You mentioned coaching, Macy. We have a whole bunch of coaches that can do both group and one-on-one. It's very reasonable. Most of our coaching is like $350 an hour. You don't have to spend $5,000, $10,000, or $20,000 for one-on-one coaching. You do that after you take, there you go, bang, this is the book. It's not an option. Thank you very much, Daphne. The check's in the mail. But we tend to tell the beginners to avoid trading things like the SPY and the VIX until they can understand how to put the spread trades on, right? That can really limit your downside. You're limiting your upside, but you're also limiting your downside. And that's one of the things, and if I may, I want to dispel a misconception about options. A lot of people think options, you know, Warren Buffett famously called them weapons of mass destruction. Meanwhile, Warren Buffett is the single largest options trader on the planet. Very well known, okay? Options are less risky than stocks because you can limit your loss to a very specific amount. Once you learn and understand how to trade options, in many instances, you're also limiting your capping your upside, but you're still talking about some really nice and really hefty returns. You know, Grant and John are going to be doing a live webinar May 15th that will make sure that everybody on this call gets an invitation to. We're going to walk everybody all through that. And then the last thing I want to point out, Macy, that you bring up, which is near and dear to our hearts, we don't trade the news. By the time CNBC is talking about it, by the time I'm talking about it on one of the networks that I'm on, the market's already reacted. So you do not want to be trading on the news. You want to be trading in anticipation of the news, but you don't want to be guessing. So how do you do that? So what we have at Mark Rebellion and what my partners, Pete and John, have built a reputation and a business on for over 35 years is something called unusual option activity. Watching stock trades only gives you three pieces of information, right? The stock, the ticker, the time they bought, and the time they sold. Options, watching institutional option trades gives you so many more dimensions. It's like playing a chess the regular way or four-dimensional chess. Options tell you that somebody is making a bet, bullish or bearish, about where a stock will be at a particular point in time and at what price, okay? So that's a ton of information. If you're a stock market detective and you're trying to determine what should I buy, how should I invest, you want the most evidence that you could possibly have, right? And that's within options. So what do? We have an algorithm, it's called the Heat Seeker, Grant knows all about it, that watches literally every single trade. And we had a day last week that was 80 or 81 or 82 million contracts trade a day, was the most ever. We watch all of them for trades that are unique. They're unusual, right? This is called unusual options activity. Actually, Pete and John did it on CNBC for years. And these are trades that have some really interesting characteristics. Number one is their size. So remember, every single contract controls how many shares of stock, basically?
100.
There you go. Controls 100 shares of stock. So we look for large options trades that are unique, not only in their size, but also in other characteristics. The strike price may be unique. We don't look at stuff that's in the money or close to in the money because that doesn't tell us very much. And we look at the time frame. That is usually an indication that somebody, an insider of some kind, knows something and is making a really big bet. It could be a company insider. It could be a hedge fund. It could be a congressperson that knows that there's going to be a policy change happening. We've seen all of it across the board. So we know how to analyze that unusual option activity so that we can trade in anticipation of the news. Because when I tell you for sure, when the talking heads on CNBC are telling a story, it's old news and you don't want to be trading on that.
I love that. And I do want to say that when I was at your Market Rebellion event in Vegas here recently, you had quite a few different aspects to your program. And that was one of the ones I found fascinating because I am not as versed in stock trading, obviously, as Macy, but I'm very interested in it. And I noticed also at your event, there were very few women. So I think you're going to see more more getting in as you guys are out there, you know, with Grant Cardone and all of the other making the education part of it. So tell us all about, so you've got the book, and then, and that book was free on your website, I think.
Just pay shipping and handling, but we'll find a way to get, if you took the time to be here today, a Nelson's beta of this app with this incredible group, I'm going to make sure I get you all a book. We'll figure out how to do that, technically speaking, Wendy, but we can make that happen.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't even have a copy yet, so I'm thrilled.
What? Like, you're signed.
I need it. I'm telling you, I want mine to be signed, though.
So
I can do that.
I do want to allow the audience to be able to ask some questions. So, because I know you're limited on time being there at the Milken Institute conference. Were there anybody in the audience that wanted to ask some questions?
I have a question for Mark. Mark, this is Nitty, your other male love interest other than Grant.
Wow, Mark, the whole fam is here. I love it.
That's right. Mark, we'll have cigars later tonight. I got a really easy question for you, okay? In an uncertain world, whether it's elections, tariffs, or black swan events, what's the mindset that a trader should take to not only survive, but stay confident, and then eventually even thrive?
Patience, avoiding panic. Panic selling is one of the most quickest ways to lose all your money. Going in without a plan. And this is something that we stress all the time. Have a plan as you go into your trade and your trades. Understand what you're comfortable with in terms of loss. Understand where you're happy in terms of profit. So many people have lost money because they got too greedy. And when I hear people crying about, oh man, I sold that stock, it was up 20% and it ran up another 20. I said, don't ever complain about making money. Nobody ever went broke taking profit, promise you. So in markets like this, it's even more important to have that plan, to have that mindset. We've done a couple that Grant's actually participated in with us, volatility webinars, when we've had these days that are really whipsawing and we know people are freaking out. They want some advice on what to do. So we scramble, we go live, we do a live webinar like this. Maybe we'll do future ones on this incredible app. And we try to say, hey, stay calm, right? Don't panic sell. This is an opportunity to reevaluate your trading plan, to reevaluate what your priorities are. As you, Wendy, and you, Macy, said at the beginning of this, you know, what do you want out of this, right? Do you want to get rich? Do you want to make some extra income? Is it $5,000, $10,000 a month? Do you have an existing portfolio that you want to help preserve? You know, we have a whole institutional side of Market Rebellion that does nothing but help folks with large equity portfolios. Oftentimes, they were early hires at tech companies like a Palantir, just to give that one another shout, because I do love that stock. They were in at $5, $7, $10. They now have a position that's highly concentrated. It could be worth $10, $15. We had somebody the other day with a $30 million position in a single name. What do they want to do? They want to do two things. They want to protect it by hedging. And like Grant does, they want to earn income from that, right? With credit, with the covered call writing. So we have a whole strategy that helps folks that have those kinds of situations to use options both to preserve their wealth as well as to make income by essentially renting out those equity
renting
positions.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, exactly right.
So many people don't realize. I hear people like, oh yeah, I own options or I own stock, but my broker does it or you know, my 401k, whatever it is, right? I'm like, you know, they're renting out your stuff, right? You learn to trade it and rent out your own stock. And so that's what I really like about this. And also with options, Mark, it's a doorway for everybody to get in. You know, looking at Apple, you know, you can buy a share for what, a couple hundred dollars right now, or you can buy, you know, you can control 100 shares for a couple of dollars. And so options is a huge gateway for people who may not have the resources to stockpile stock, right? And so that's what I really love about it. And I wanted to, if you could elaborate, when you talk about the anomalies that you find in trading and the way options allow you to really kind of peel the onion back of what's really going on, I wanted to kind of give the audience a little bit of an example of what you're talking, because it sounds very kind of over your head, but really what it is, guys, is, you know, I'm on Apple, just happens to be on my screen right now. I'm looking at it. And in your, once you learn, you'll get a platform to trade and you'll have data that comes in that's very easy to interpret, and you'll get a coach with Market Rebellion and they'll show you what that looks like. And I'm looking at the July 25 call date, 73 days out. and I'm looking at the 230 call, which means somebody thinks that the 230 mark, and it's trading at 198. So it's right. There's over 50,000 in open interest in that. Well, that tells me something. That means there's 50,000 out there contracts that people think it's going to go to the $230 mark at July 25, the middle of July, basically, is what that's saying. So that's information you don't get trading stock. You only get that on options. So there's something that's going to happen between now and the middle of July. Somebody thinks there's something going to happen because the rest of the open interest is a few hundred or less than 10,000. So that's what he's talking about when you get these anomaly type information. It's almost like inside information, right? So
no, it is. We call it legal inside information. You know, there's an example I'll use. Which is a little difficult to use, but it's one that we are asked about a lot. It's also part of, goes back to sort of my backstory, which is the days leading up to that very dark day of September 11th. So at the time, my business partners and two people I consider family that many of you on this call know well, Pete and John Najarian, were market makers on the floor of the Chicago Board of Option Exchange. And they saw massive, unusual put buying activity in the major airlines. And it was very, very large. So there was somebody making a very bearish bet. This was 2 days before the attacks on the World Trade Center. They were large enough and suspicious enough that they called the FBI. The FBI started an investigation. Unfortunately, it wasn't soon enough to stop the terrorist attacks. But that investigation continued. They traced the money back through accounts in Germany that were, in fact, tied ultimately to financiers of the terror attacks. Wow. So it's a dramatic. And unfortunately, my uncle, who I was saying about my mentor, when I left to go to law school, he was asked by now Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick to run Cantor Fitzgerald. And he was unfortunately running Cantor Fitzgerald on the 101st floor of the World Trade Center on September 11th. So yeah. Law school saved my life in one sense. Had I not decided to go that route, I probably would have been working with him in the Trade Center that day. But that gives you an indication of what information can be gleaned if you understand how to read those tea leaves, how to follow the footsteps that are left, or the breadcrumbs that are left by those large institutional trades. And we do it in a very easy way. So if you become a member of one of our services, our unusual option activity services, we will give you several times a day by email and text. Hey, we're seeing, like Macy was just pointing out, we're seeing that large open interest in Apple at that strike, which indicates that somebody is feeling super bullish that something between now and then doesn't have to be on that day of the strike. It has to be at least up to and before that day of the strike price, right before of the expiration date. So yeah, so we give you that several times a day in various forms that we're seeing it in different tickers, and there's lots of opportunity to trade with unusual option activity.
Go ahead. Is that right?
Quick question, Mark. When you get, by the way, his presentation was unbelievable in Vegas. So everybody has to get the book. It's phenomenal. Macy, you'll love the book. But the typical person doesn't have the time to put in, to follow and watch. So are you going to teach them about spreads and about, you know, maybe covering themselves? Is that in the 101 section so that people don't have to worry too much about, you know, getting stopped out? Or is that something that you recommend, or you try to just keep it basic and simple? Because most people don't have the time you guys are putting into this.
Yeah, so that's true, Rhett. And I would say there is a strategy that matches the amount of time you have to spend in virtually all cases. So one of the most important parts of the process is the client onboarding, where one of our customer service reps, you guys have met several of them at our live events, we'll spend an hour, 2 hours on the phone with the customer, understanding where are they from an experience and knowledge perspective, where are they in terms of what they want and need financially, right? Are they looking for protection? Are they looking for a dividend-like income? Are they looking to shoot the lights out? You know, do they want to trade like Macy or me or John does, which is, you know, significant income? And based on that and how much time you have, we match with a strategy that works, right? So the less time you have, typically speaking, the longer duration. We're not going to put you in zero DTE. Those are options that expire the same day. Not going to have you trading that. Probably going to have you trading longer duration options trades. And we have services that provide ideas that are in that longer duration category. We would consider what Macy was just talking about in the Julys and Apple as a longer duration trade. Most of the trades that we and our active traders trade are between the 3 to 5 week duration tops. But we do have stuff for folks that have less time that would have a longer duration in the trade. And we provide updates. It's not just, oh, here's the trade idea and forget about it because things change, markets move. So we give people updates. Hey, we saw that there was a change either in the news or the market conditions or the underlying ticker. Either it's time to sell or to roll, which is something that's very important. With stock, you can either buy it or sell it. Not with options. With options, you can do what's called rolling the trade, which means you can make modifications to it, take some money off the table, put more money into it if necessary, and adjust the option position based on the changing market dynamics. And we give the customers those alerts to know, hey, it's time to make a change to something that we suggested to you a week, 3 weeks, or whatever ago, depending on the service.
Wow. Yeah, that makes.
I see Credit has a question for us. Credit, go ahead.
Hey, Nini. This used to hang. Nini and I partied in Miami. Anyways, hopefully she's still there, but this is Credit. Question to you is, I do have a lot of clients are out there. I deal with financial education, of course, and part of it is being able to deploy money, whether in an investment or in actively trading your account. What does it look like, I mean, realistically, for someone to get involved with options trading when they're first starting out? What's that dollar amount? Is it $20,000, $100,000, so forth and so forth? And also, you know, you mentioned options that are older or later, like maybe 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, those are primarily at those different contracts are so much higher than the ones that are about to expire in like a week or so. So I've traded options for a very long time. I'm not actively trading it now, but I'm very well aware of it. But I want to be realistic. And what is the dollar amount for someone that just wants to start out? And remember, when they do apply for an options trading account, like Fidelity and so forth, they are very strict on getting approved. Not any Jack, Joe, and Mary can get approved because they're going to ask questions like, how much experience have you have? How much money do you have? All this stuff. Can you highlight that, please? I'm going to go on mute.
Great question.
Yeah, so great, really good questions. And you're absolutely right. You do have to be approved for options trading. Part of what we do on the education side is give you the ability to answer a lot of those onboarding questions with confidence, because we've given you the knowledge and the tools and the techniques that you need to at least get started. We tell folks you're not going to be able to do sophisticated and you're not going to be doing too much selling of options, but just to get into buying puts and calls, $7,500 to $10,000. Some folks have started with as little as $5,000. You're going to be limited in what you can do with that small amount of capital, right? And you're going to need to have the patience to grow it. But it is definitely possible to do that. And as I was saying earlier, we are going to be announcing soon the launch of something called Rebel Trade, which is our options brokerage and execution business. And the folks there, this is all they do. This is their expertise, is helping individual options traders, as opposed to trying to do things through Fidelity or Schwab, where you're just a number and it's hard to get somebody on the phone in a meaningful way.
Well, that's very exciting. We can't wait to see that coming to fruition. And I do want to mention again that you've only got a few more minutes here, but that you're speaking at Milken Institute today. And what's the other conference you're speaking at tomorrow?
Uncorrelated Beverly Hills, which is a alternative investment conference series that started last year. We do them January. We did one in Miami at the Faena. We just did one in Puerto Rico 3 weeks ago. I will be doing this one here in Beverly Hills around Milken, and then we'll be doing one, I think, in Punta Cana and London, still on tap this year. And then, of course, we're going to be speaking at the Wall Street Conference in Palm Beach. That's going to be May 19th and 2021-22. If anybody's interested in attending that, there may still be some tickets left. That's going to be an incredible roster of speakers. Famous attorney Alan Dershowitz, Roger Stone, Kim Guilfoyle, Eric Trump, to name a few, are going to be on stage. Myself, John, of course, Grant may even come by. And then, of course, we're looking forward to, there's no rest for the wicked, Wendy, as you know, that we're going to be back down and back home in Aventura at the JW Marriott for X WealthCon, which is going to be May 31st and June 1st. We're really looking forward to that. And then it may take 3 days off. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a busy schedule. Where can they find all these events? And just in case they didn't get it, are all those events on your website?
They should be, but they're not. So you can find out more about 10X Wealth if you just Google 10X Wealth 2025 or go to, forget which webpage. I don't know if Grant or one of his team members are still on. You can find out more about the Market Rebellion events that we do at our website, which is marketrebellion.com, of course. And we make a lot of these announcements. So if you're following myself, Peter, John on social, we tend to announce these things at least a month in advance to say, hey, we're speaking, or there's that book. But Daphne, and that, an even bigger check is in the mail now. So yeah, we try to keep our audience informed of all of these things, but sometimes.
Yeah, so try to follow them on social for those events that are coming up. And unfortunately, I don't think we had all your links to all of your social set up. It was a quick on in between your events and everything, but you can find them on pretty much everywhere. I've seen you on X, Instagram, all the social media outlets.
Anyway. I like to follow you on Instagram. What is your favorite platform to produce content for folks that want to follow you and learn more and get into?
To produce, the one asset that we probably spend the most of our time from a production perspective on is a show called The Rebel's Edge. Mm-hmm. So we do that Monday through Thursday at 1:00 Eastern time. That airs on our YouTube channel. Put in Market Rebellion or The Rebel's Edge on YouTube. It pops right up.
Rebel's Edge. All right. You guys heard it 1 p.m. Eastern. And you said that's daily at 1 p.m. Eastern?
Daily at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find that on YouTube. Just put in Rebel's Edge or Market Rebellion. Yeah, there you go. And that one's something that we're really proud of. It's a markets show. We also cover a little bit of sports. My two co-founders or partners of Market Rebellion are both retired NFL, pro NFL. So we have to have a little bit of sports in there. But we cover stocks, options, futures, the major financial headlines of the day. You can see me on the American Agenda on Newsmax, usually at 3:00. I started doing the morning show. Forget what it's called. Newsmax from 8 to 8:15. You can see us very frequently on Liz Claman's show on Fox. So we do Bartiromo's show, Claman, Charles Payne, The Big Money Show, which is the 12 to 1 show now, and Larry Kudlow's show, of course. You can follow me on X at MXLESQ. It's the same handle as my Chatter handle. And I believe my Insta is MXLapresti, if I'm not mistaken.
Believe so, yes. That's what I'm following.
I'll add all those to the to my profile, Wendy. I didn't get a chance to get that all set up yet.
You get a chance in between all your conferences and appearances and trading, not to mention trading. Well, thank you so much. I do want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, Ollie Bigler. He's not in the room today. Smarter Aircraft, the next generation of private aviation investments. So guys, take a look at his website at smarteraircraft.com. We always appreciate his sponsorship. Of course, Mark, you know him well. And we do thank you for coming on today and wish you well with all of your endeavors and your busy events and safe travels. Thank you for coming on Chatter.
It was my absolute pleasure. It's always nice to see you. And let me know when you'd like to have me or Pete or John. I think they're maybe going to have one of them on the show, huh? Nice.
They're scheduled to be here next week, so we will be hearing more about options trading from your group next week, Tuesday at 5 Eastern Standard Time.
Well, absolutely. You're going to have to tell me, you're going to have to A-B test or tell me who got the better Q score when this is all over.
I could sit and talk to you for, I don't know, maybe the next 8 or 9 hours.
We'll have to figure out how to make that happen, I think, Macy.
Well, to WealthCon, Macy. I think all of us are going to WealthCon.
That's what I was going to say. You know, we're going to have this entire month on stocks and trading and options, and we're having all of you guys on as a guest, and I think the final, the break finale will be down in Miami when we're all at WealthCon together, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm hoping that anyone that hears us or hears us throughout the month will come down and join us as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, guys. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.